celebrated our 10th anniversary last year, and so we had a lot of marketing, and a lot of schools that we hadn't visited physically in person in years had us back, and we developed all sorts of new songs, new lessons, new tie-ins with their curriculum, their positive behavior curriculum. So we really are back at it. It's been a total trip.
If you ever need a support group for people saying, I went to an assembly when I was the age that my children are now, let me know. I've been on that ride quite a few times. With we used to call you when I was a kid, and now my grandchildren call you. How can folks, we'll mention the dates again and a link, but if folks want to bring you to a school or to some sort of family event, what's the best way to try to make arrangements for that?
The best way is to just Google our performing name is Josh and Gab. So you can go to joshandgab.com. Sometimes it'll take you to Josh Gad, the performer who voiced Olaf. So make sure you're looking for Josh and Gab with a B. I should clarify, the county, we usually advertise it as campfire events with Josh and Gab, but typically Gab and I perform separate. We kind of split them up. The only event that we'll be performing together for these campfires are a week from today. That'll be Saturday, October 28th at Harrison Hills, which is kind of like the Natrona area. We'll be at the Yakon Shelter. So that'll be our big one of these events next Saturday, the 28th. We're going to do Josh and Gab together. I believe tonight at Deer Lakes is Gab solo, and tomorrow, Sunday the 22nd, is me solo at White Oak. And then we usually team up for the big one on Halloween weekend.
Good to know. And if you go to AlleghenyCounty.us/special-events, you can find all of this. Also a star party tonight at Deer Lakes, weather permitting, following the performance. And these all start at 7 o'clock. And what a wonderful opportunity for people to see you and be entertained by you and to hear some scary stories. That's or maybe some ghost stories that aren't scary, but engaging.
Yeah, we engage. If there's like 3-year-olds in the front row, we really kind of make it a little more of a neutral experience. But if it's like upper elementary kids, we can get a little scarier, you know.
Yeah, it's good to be able to calibrate accordingly. Josh, it's good to catch up with you, and best wishes for continued success. Give Gab my regards when you next see Gab.
I will. Have a great morning. Great to hear your voice, too, and we'll see you around Cal.
Thanks. That's Josh Verbanitz of Josh and Gab. And again, the shows remaining in the Allegheny County Campfire Ghost Stories series are tonight, October 21st, at Deer Lakes Wagman Observatory. Tomorrow, the 22nd, at White Oak Park Chestnut Shelter. And the two together, October 28th, Harrison Hills Yakon Shelter. And that event will have a sign language translator in addition to both Josh and Gab.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from Spatial, providing customizable radio automation software and streaming solutions to radio stations, broadcasters, and businesses around the world since 1999. Additional information is available at spatial.com. That's spacial.com.
Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets Alexandria's Susie off to a good start, the weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP-FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WSAJ-FM Grove City, WCUC-FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, and internet radio stations and streaming services everywhere, including slbradio.org/radio. That is Edna's Can here at the Saturday Light Brigade. Chad Green, our technical director, just came in. We were talking about Dizzy Gillespie in our 6 o'clock hour this morning. I don't always get to hear the 24/7 Best of SLB feed that runs on our internet stream when we're not live Saturday mornings. And it was Jonah Winter reading from his book about Dizzy Gillespie that was a segment featured this morning, which is a neat coincidence because those are more or less random, and he is with Tom Roberts playing along, sharing that. And if you go to our website, you can hear live performances and interviews 24/7. We wanted to feature things you would not be able to find anywhere else. And you'll find our SLB radio stream at TuneIn, Simple Radio, Streama, just about anywhere you would find internet radio stations, or go directly to slbradio.org/radio.
The Northside Chronicle joins you in supporting SLB Radio. The Northside Chronicle is a free community newspaper that provides hyperlocal coverage of the people, places, and events in the 18 Northside neighborhoods of Pittsburgh. Details on the nominations for the Northside Chronicle's Reader's Choice Awards for Favorite Northside Small Businesses, as well as information about the Northside Chronicle's free weekly newsletter, are available at thenorthsidechronicle.com.
The Sound Hound is here again today, and the Sound Hound is about to challenge you with a sound for you to identify. As we do each week at this time, the Sound Hound is going to present a sound to you, and it's going to be up to you to see if you can identify the sound that the Sound Hound found. And let's get the sound away. Easy. More ferocious every week. Got it. Here is today's sound. Listen carefully. 412-200-5975. Here it is again. Can you identify it? 412-200-5975. Take a guess, or better yet, say that you know the correct answer. Perhaps you do. 412-200-5975. Soundhound, thank you. Here's a little kibble. Here you go. Thank you, and good luck. Here's the sound again. Good luck. 412-200-5975.
I never sailed a ship out on the ocean breeze, but I've been adrift since the day that I could see. Don't ask me where I've been, I just roll along. And I learned about love just like I learned right and wrong. I know a familiar face like the words to my own song. Don't ask me how I know, they just come along. And if a fog comes in, bad weather's coming down, I've just taken my sails and hope I don't drown. Don't ask me why, I just roll along. There's people motivating around the world and then beyond, but I can sit right here and tell you I am gone. Don't ask me where I just roll along. And if a fog comes in, bad weather's coming down, I've just taken my sails and hope I don't drown. Don't ask me why, I just roll along. 'Cause I never sailed a ship out on the ocean breeze, but I've been adrift since the day that I could see. Don't ask me where I've been, I just roll along.
Oh, we've had a lot of guesses. That's Paul Jeremiah. I just roll along. I'm not sure if I told you this when we saw Magpie Live last week. They played that song, and I was blown away. I've never heard anybody do a cover of that song before. It's one of my favorites, and it was wonderful to hear. We have a few correct guesses so far to our sound puzzle. The Sound Hound is going to let us hear it again. And I will tell you, it is not a metronome. We've had a lot of guesses of metronome. Nor is it anything related to a clock. Not a watch or an alarm clock or a grandfather clock of any type. And I'm going to give you some of the incorrect guesses coming in right now, as well as the correct guesses. Zach had a few guesses, including a clock and a metronome. Stu is the first one to get it correct. Larry in Elwood City took a guess of metronome. John in Grove City. Good morning, John. You are correct. Well done. Mike thought it might be a metronome. John in Carrick thought it could be a wind-up clock. And Tegan texted. Drew got it correct. Tegan, Otis, and Larkin all thought it might be a clock. Drew had another idea in mind, and his is correct. Thanks for listening together. Also listening together are Caden and Annie and probably Matt. Caden thinks it's somebody softly hammering a nail. Click, tap, tap, tap. I hear that. Nice, Caden. Or Caden. I was thinking of hammering. Annie thought it might be a ticking clock or a metronome. It's neither of those. Linda also thought metronome. John and Addie came up with the correct answer. Well done. It's a metronome of sorts, especially if you're listening to the radio and maybe using it as one. It could be. And Russ had those same answers that keep coming in. And Tom was thinking a metronome. Rick in the Highland Park also is thinking about the metronome. Good morning, Rick. Mike has a cuckoo clock. John has a grandfather clock. Jack says it's a circle clock. It took me a minute when I read that. It's not the old-fashioned circle clock where time is conveyed by circles. Zach, you just got the correct answer. Well done. Brian thought it might be a grandfather clock or a metronome. And I think he just got the correct answer. And Carla also had those same guesses. Here's the sound again. Another clue on the sound is it doesn't, the sound can vary depending on where you are. It can vary in tempo. It can vary in pitch. But it's a pretty common sound. Drew knew it right away. I'm amazed, not amazed, but pleased that Drew got it. Brian, you got it too, eh?
Yes, I did. I was thinking real hard, and my mind turned the corner, and the turn signal went, and I said, okay, it's a turn signal.
Indeed, it's a automotive turn signal.
Yes, it is, my man. How are you doing? Good today?
I'm doing good. It can be kind of a metronome. You know, both the windshield wipers of the car and the turn signals, and to an extent, flashers, sometimes end up keeping the beat to what you're singing.
Exactly.
Ricky and I have discovered during winter a soft snowfall with a windshield wiper. It's simply having a wonderful Christmas time. It actually
Christmas time.
It actually works.
A little Beatles right there. You
yeah.
Know?
It works perfectly. I believe the windshield wipers have to be, at least on our car, on medium speed to make that work.
Exactly. Hey, you guys be cool and keep dodging those raindrops and have fun, okay?
We will. Thank you for being with us today. And congratulations, if you knew, we were looking for the turn signal, the automotive turn signal. A lot of correct answers. We're appreciative of your playing along this morning. Let me make sure I didn't miss any that just came in. I might have. Oh, John and Carrick thought it might be the way a TV used to tune from on an old TV. Not that. It's not an outtake from an old Mission Impossible TV show. Mick thought it might be that. Charlie thought it could be water dripping in a metal pan. Oh, Pudge said, it's you, Larry, inside my head this morning. Oh, my head. No, it's not that. And Mick had water dripping in a sink. Zach knew that we were looking for a turn signal. And I think I acknowledged all of the correct answers, but let me double check. John and Addie had it. Stu had it. Drew had it. John in Grove City also came up with the correct answer. Well done. An automotive turn signal. Thank you, Soundhound. Of course you can have a little bit of a drink. We'll find one for you. There you go. Thank you, baby.
Stones together. swear it's not too late. Do everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. Bend the time to every purpose under heaven.
Bruce Coburn at the Saturday Light Brigade. From the album Rarities. And Gail, who is in Ohio this morning, also knew that we were looking. That's Richie Cole starting this number. Gail also knew that we were looking for the sound of a turn signal, as did Russ. Another chance to earn a Saturday Light Brigade charge. Coming up right now, it's a pleasure to welcome Gustavo Zajac with Quantum Theater to the Saturday Light Brigade. Gustavo, good morning. Have I pronounced your name correctly?
Hello, good morning. And you pronounced it great. Thanks so very much.
It's very nice to have you with us. And you're involved in a production at Quantum Theater that's being presented in collaboration with Violins of Hope. It opens October 26th. Can you tell us a bit about the production and your involvement in it?
Correct, yes. Okay, so my role is I'm the director and choreographer of the show. And there's lots to talk. The show is the journey of the life of Marc Chagall, painter Marc Chagall, and his wife Bella Chagall. The reason why the title of the play is called The Flying Lovers of Vitebsk is because Vitebsk is a city, not actually currently in Belarus, where Marc Chagall was born. And our story takes us from his childhood until, you'll see when, but until his late age. And it's a beautiful journey with text, with dance, and with songs. We have a whole songbook of Yiddish songs that I believe the audience will thoroughly enjoy.
It sounds terrific, and for people that like Marc Chagall's work, it will be a great tribute to him, I'm sure, but also I know nothing about his personal life whatsoever, and I would imagine Bella perhaps was a muse to encourage his art. I don't want to give away the play, but I'm sure there's some interplay there. To have it done in collaboration with Violins of Hope, the exhibit currently at Carnegie Mellon University that displays instruments that were actually used during the Holocaust. It's a great juxtaposition of the two events.
Yes, absolutely. Our audience will be able to observe, witness one of those violins, because it's going to be an omnipresent character throughout the whole play that we have. I don't want to give that away, but we have a violin of hope, and it's going to be displayed throughout in our show. So, yes, we have put the two things together, and besides the violin, like you said, yes, Bella was a muse to him, and you don't need to know much about the story of our show, because this is given in most of his paintings, where he's painted weddings and flying lovers. That's the title of the show. The flying woman in the couple is none other than Bella Chagall. And so not only she inspired him in his personal life, but also she was a model for him. So he painted her very often in his paints.
That I did not know. And you might, when you think of Marc Chagall, a lot of people think about stained glass, but there are also paintings and tapestries and so many just vivid, colorful works to consider when you think about somebody like Marc Chagall. And this play has such a nice long run, too. Opening October 28th, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday at 8, and a Sunday matinee at 2. So Wednesday and Thursday, Saturday and Sunday at 8, and then a Sunday matinee at 2, clear through October 28th all the way through November 26th. And I'm curious, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself, your path to becoming a director?
Yes, yes, sure. The last thing I wanted to tell you about the show is that a lot of the art of Chagall is very much part of our production. So I told my actors and my creative team who have made beautiful designs that I want the audience to experience that they've been to a Marc Chagall exhibit when they exit the show. So a lot of his art and paintings and colors that you have mentioned are also part of our production through costumes, light, and different objects that we use on stage. And they will compose. They make a composition of a Chagall-like experience. So that's what I wanted to tell you about what you mentioned about Chagall's art. And about my experience as a director, I'm an Argentinian-American director. I was born in Argentina, and I was a child performer. I performed since I was 9. In fact, much of my work was related to Jewish education, and I've was a performer of Yiddish folk dance and Yiddish folk songs. Then I became an actor, and I worked for Argentinian television and Argentinian theater. And working as such, I met a lot of Broadway and West End directors who would travel to Argentina to stage productions from Broadway and from London. And they've asked me to translate for them sometimes for the cast whenever they were directing. And slowly I was told by them that I had the talent to be a director. I didn't want to hear that very much when I was still a performer. But sooner or later that happened, and I started directing. And these same directors that I met in Argentina, they also called me to collaborate with them in New York on Broadway. So I started my journey in New York on Broadway. And from there, some of my work was requested in Korea and Japan. So I did a lot of work in Korea and Japan, and also in Mexico. And currently I'm still directing sometimes in Argentina, around the U.S., and in Asia.
Well, Gustavo, what a career and life story you have. Where do you make your home? Are you living in Argentina? Or
I have two homes. I live in New York most of the year, but I also still have my place in Argentina because I still teach some musical theater courses down there, and every year or two, I still do a production down in Argentina. The last I did was actually Fiddler on the Roof a couple of years ago. So I still visit Argentina very often. My family is still there, but I spend most of the year in New York because obviously that's where I engage most with the industry and where I'm able to access much of my theater work. So that's why I chose New York to live most of my life.
Well, I'm delighted that you're able to visit Pittsburgh. And here is to a great show, The Flying Lovers of Vita Bisque, the story of Marc Chagall and Bella, his poet, model, wife, and partner. And it opens October 28th, runs through November 26th, that Road of Shalom in Oakland, in Pittsburgh, and you can find out more at quantumtheater.com. Anything else you wanted to mention, Gustavo? Thank you for being with us.
I really, really hope that those who connect with the story of such great painter, those who connect with culture, those who connect with a very intimate love story, yet with a greater history of Europe in the first half of the century, come to see the show, because I think we've created something very, very special and unique for theater here in Pittsburgh. So I look forward to seeing everyone in the show.
Wonderful. Best wishes. Thank you for being with us today. Take care.
Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
That's Gustavo Sajak, and look for Gustavo's The Flying Lovers of Vita Bisque opening up October 28th. Broadcasting live, more theater in a moment from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions in Pittsburgh.
Be
The Roaches at the Saturday Light Brigade with a song simply called Mr. Selak. Hello to Kathy and Tyonesta, who was asking about the Sound Hound. The sound of the Sound Hound was a turn signal, a turn signal. That's what we were looking for. Another chance to earn a Saturday Light Brigade charge coming up.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
I have got Brian Pope here with me now, and we are going to talk about the New Hazlett Theater's first CSA production of the season. CSA stands for Community Supported Art. It's a performance series of very brave and new works that are managed and put on by New Hazlett Theater, just a short walk away upstairs and beyond our studios here on the north side. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Good morning.
I'm fine. Now, I'm really curious, as my chair falls as we talk, to hear more about the play. Can you tell us a little bit about its setting?
Yeah. So Himbos is a workplace comedy about a very unique workplace. Think places like Hooters, but instead of beautiful women and hot wings, there are beautiful men and hot dogs.
I've often wondered I'm sure places like that exist, but the idea of doing a complete reversal of that. And it sounds like that's a little bit.
Yes, and it is real. It is a real place. This is loosely inspired by a real restaurant in Dallas, Texas that was called Tallywhackers.
I get it.
Yep. You understand why. It was open in 2015, and it actually closed after just a year, even though it was super successful, all over the news. It kind of went away, and no one really knows what happened.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you've got a cast, I imagine, of mostly men?
Yes, we have a cast of six incredible actors and two understudies. Most of them are the employees of Himbos, the servers, the host, the cook. And then the owner of Himbos is a woman named Cheyenne, who actually used to work at Hooters in her past. And she has come back to reclaim, and now she's the boss.
Wow.
Yeah.
And are you the writer?
I'm the playwright of this play. Yes, it has been a blast to write it and develop it. We had a reading last summer at Pittsburgh Public Theater, where I work. And it's sort of, we had so much fun that day working on it that I was like, this has got to continue. We got to keep working at this.
Tell me a little bit about your life. Now, you just, I think, revealed that you live in Pittsburgh because you work at Pittsburgh Public Theater. Were you raised here or did you come from elsewhere?
So don't hold it against me, but I'm from Philadelphia. Thank you. I appreciate it. I grew up in Philly and then I came to Pittsburgh to go to Pitt. I've been here since 2009 and now I live in Hazelwood with my husband and my cat. And we, you know, we see theater, we go to movies, and I love it here.
I was in Hazelwood all day yesterday and the day before. There's so many great things happening there. I can't imagine what it is like to spend as much time as you did creating this play and then to finally see it coming to life. The play opens October 26th. Which is coming up this
very soon.
It's this Thursday, right?
Yes.
Have you actually seen it on the stage yet and in full?
So we actually moved to the stage on Monday. We've been rehearsing in the rehearsal room for the last 3 weeks, and I actually saw a run of the show last night, and it is phenomenal. The actors are incredible. My director and assistant director are the best. It's just a blast. We're all having so much fun. Like, too much fun, maybe, but it's great.
Well, I hope folks will come and see it. Do you think there's an age, appropriate age for people?
Yeah, so it's there's some salty language, I'll say. So maybe like PG-13, just the older kids.
Yeah, that's and people, that helps. Yeah. People can make their own assessments about it, and yeah. You can learn more at New Hazlett Theater. And the website, it's got to be just the service industry mm-hmm. itself. Mm-hmm. Just about everybody, I think, has a service industry job.
Totally.
In their past. I do when I was 15. 15 and 16, mm-hmm. I was a busboy and what they called a bar back in a restaurant. And I didn't do that for very long, yep. but I have some very good stories about yeah. my time there. And that itself is got to be a great source of comedy. And absolutely. Then you add this sort of bizarro gender reversal yeah. For this kind of place. And it's got to be a lot of fun. And it was the Texas restaurant that inspired you?
That inspired me because there are so many videos and articles and interviews sort of covering it. And I was like, there's a lot here. And actually today there is a place called Boxers in New York City that still is open. And I actually got to visit earlier this summer for research. it was a lot of fun. I mean, just everyone's having a good time. Everyone's celebrating. It's a great space.
I've always told there's no reason for me not to share this story. But yeah. I was at the places like Hooters. Those were never. It won't surprise anybody that those are not my. Cups of tea. Mm-hmm. And I remember years ago when I was working as a consulting engineer, there was a fellow in Gary, Indiana that always wanted to go to a place like that. And I sort of, he drove and he insisted on us going there. And I was kind of looking in any direction possible, practically eating with my eyes closed. Yep. And it wasn't even that. It was a PG-13 kind of place.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to be part of, in that case, part of the misogyny
right.
Taking place. But it was just bizarre.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there's the service industry tensions. Mm-hmm. There's got to be the restaurant itself. And I'm sure the characters are really fun, too.
Oh, yeah. So it's sort of like overlapping stories, like one character. A bunch of characters are involved in a love triangle. There's a new cook who comes, and then the guys have their eyes on him. They're like fighting for his love. There may be a karaoke song that happens in the show. There are some secrets. There are secret affairs happening. They live very full lives.
Sounds like a rich context
yes.
for all of this. Were you an actor or are you an actor as well?
I mean, we all in the theater in our time have been on the stage once or twice. Those days are long behind me. I much prefer to be behind the scenes. I'm a writer. I work as the casting director at the Public Theater, so I am very involved with local artists, and that's my passion, is to give people a platform. So I'm excited to give all these artists this moment to show how amazing they are on and off stage.
When you write a play, that's got to be, it's quite a process.
Yes.
Can you explain your method or how you might go? I think of August Wilson, mm-hmm. who I'm told would observe and collect little snippets of dialogue
yeah.
as he lived his life, and he would sort of put them aside. Mm-hmm. And I doubt he said it this directly, but it was like, I'm going to use this in a play someday. Mm-hmm. And then when he would need these bits of dialogue, he had some kindling for his writing. What do you do to get to the kind of plays you want to write?
Yeah, so a lot of playwrights like to outline and really plan what they're going to write, which is a way smarter, more efficient way to write. I kind of just dive in. I hear their characters in my head first, and then I just start scribbling down dialogue. Like, what would this scene be like? Just how would people talk in this restaurant? What are they talking about? who are they? And I start from a character dialogue perspective. And I write it down, I read it, I'm like, okay, this is all right. Let's keep going. Who are the other characters? Who's, you know, what are their home lives like? Why are they in this environment? And it sort of like blooms from there. It's a very chaotic process, but eventually we get to, you know,
Do you write prose as well?
Actually, I went to college for English writing, prose novels and all that, but now I am mainly playwriting. I love dialogue. I love seeing people in space, like, live. The tactileness of it is the most exciting. I love it.
I never thought about this, but a character in a book, mm-hmm. of course, needs to be well-defined mm-hmm. and understood. But I wonder if in a play it becomes even more important to mm-hmm. really specify. I mean, in a book, you can use your imagination mm-hmm. as to what this character looks like. And you can choose to interpolate some of their traits. Mm-hmm. But in a play, I'm guessing you probably have to be very prescriptive and mm-hmm. specific about a character's attributes. Is that true?
I mean, it can be true. You can get very in the nitty-gritty of, like, this is their backstory, this is where they're coming from. But I think the exciting thing for me with playwriting is that it's such a collaborative experience. Like, that imagination that readers have with a book, the director has, the actors have. Like, they unearth things and tell me things about the characters that I did not know at all. And I was like, that's actually really smart. You're right. Let's keep that.
Yeah, but you're right. If they're inhabiting the character and if they become the character, mm-hmm. And it's probably different for different actors.
Yeah.
They're going to bring nuances to it. Tell me a little bit about the role of the audience in a play. So many people are becoming accustomed to going to virtual performances mm-hmm. or simply watching productions produced for the screen. Mm-hmm. But a live audience, even if there is not direct interplay, there's something about what the live audience means to the people on stage and the reverse of that. Can you explain what that relationship is like?
Yeah, it's a very important relationship, especially when it comes to developing new plays. Like, this is a new play, and it's so vital to have that feedback and that energy from the audience. What are they laughing at? What's resonating? You know, I think for us in this process, we've been rehearsing for the last 3 weeks, like I said. The actors are ready. They're ready to get in front of people. They're ready to hear the laughs, you know, what they need to pause on, what's working, what isn't. They're ready for that energy, that exchange of, like, the breath and seeing people react. Like, it's I don't know if the audiences are ready for all the greatness they're about to bring, but the cast is ready.
Well, and it's nice to be surprised, delighted, moved, any emotion that you might feel. So the play, it's called Himbos. It opens October 26th, Thursday, with a show at 8 p.m. Now, on the 27th, I had to double check this. There's a 10 a.m. show.
Yes, there is.
And then
there's
a show at 10 in the morning on Friday the 27th, and then 8 at night. And that's it. Opportunities to see the show.
Mm-hmm.
So you can learn more at the new Hazlett Theater website. Anything else that you would like to mention? It's nice to have you here this morning.
Yeah, thank you so much. No, I mean, this play is truly a blast. You are going to leave happy, laughing. It's a celebration, and I just can't wait to get everyone involved.
Great. Brian Pope, thank you.
Thank you
for being with us. Best wishes for I was going to say a good run.
It's a sprint.
It's a sprint. Best wishes for a good sprint. October 26th and 27th at the new Hazlett Theater on Pittsburgh's North Side.
Send in 1,000 grandmothers. They will surely volunteer. With their ancient wisdom flowing, they will lend a loving.
they'll form a loving circle around the wounded wing, then contain the brutal beasts of war. Sweet freedom songs they'll sing, sweet freedom songs they'll sing. A lullaby much stronger than bombs and threats to kill, a force unlike we've ever seen will break the murderer's will. To the prisons we'll invite them, most violent souls will weep when a thousand women hold them strong and pray their souls to keep, and pray their souls to keep. Let them rock the few who steal the most and rule with youthful charms, so they'll see the damage that they do and they'll fall into grandma's arms. 2,000 loving arms. If you think these women are too soft to face the world at hand, then you've never known the power of love and you fail to understand. An old woman holds a powerful force when she no longer needs to please. She can cut your shallow life to bits and bring you to your knees. We best get down on our knees and pray for 1,000 grandmothers. Will you please come volunteer? No longer tucked deep out of sight, will you bring your power here? Will you bring your power here?
Holly Near and Emma's Revolution with the song called 1,000 Grandmothers. And we have a lot of birthdays to share. And we're going to play Guess Who in our next hour. Get ready for that. Plus, you'll be the first to know. I'm about to say it. We have a game in honor of National Chemistry Week. Did you make your plans for National Chemistry Week? It's getting underway. Today is actually the last day of National Chemistry Week, but we'll have a game. As soon as I said it's getting underway, Ricky reacted. Get it? And I compounded the problem, but now here we are again. I'll stop now. Happy birthday today to Nick in Avalon from your mom, Antonio of Mon Hall from your family, Dave Brianza of Allison Park, from Karen, Audrey, and Rose. Claire, happy birthday to you. Also, we have Cameron of Brighton Heights from your family. And finally today, Lucy Stewart, happy birthday. Tomorrow, we have Gerard of Canfield from Kate and Maeve and Beth Ann of Monroeville. On Monday, the 23rd, Mason from Kelsey, Dad, and Cooper. Sally from Jason, Eileen from Cindy, Faith from Steve, Sam, and Adam, Jim in Washington County from daughter Julie, and Cece. Cece, good morning. I hope you're there. We wish you a happy birthday from us and also from Ken and Tom. On the 24th, Scott has a birthday. Happy birthday, Scott. And Ava of McClellan Town also celebrates. And happy birthday to Lena of Oakmont from Mom Jenny and a family. On the 24th, Dane of Black Ash celebrates on the 24th. Happy birthday to Dane from the Moorhead family. Also, Stephanie of the North Hills on the 24th, and Emma of West Mifflin from Alex and Char and Gary. Nathan of Upper St. Clair from Norm and Barb, Julie, Becca, Catherine, and Alicia. And moments ago, we mentioned Cece having a birthday. Her husband, Tom, or Tom, sorry, her son, Tom, joins us in wishing her husband, Ken, a happy birthday, both in Jacksonville, Florida. So we have Cece with a birthday on the 23rd and Ken with a birthday on the 25th. Matthew of Zeelandople, happy birthday to you from Karen, Brian, Russell, Ken, Margarita, Alicia, and your whole family. Also on the 25th, Lisa from Laurie. Happy birthday to Mandy. And we have Titus of Grove City, who was born on the 25th, and brother Gratian on the 26th, from dad and mom, Ken and Jamie, and sister Aurora and brother Brunner. On the 26th, we have Christopher of Brentwood from Kathy and Ken. Katie and Clay have a wedding anniversary on the 26th. Julie of Hampton has a birthday. Olivia, happy birthday to you from Eric and Carrie. And Vicky in Oakmont celebrates on the 26th. Finally, on the 27th, Brittany of Butler, from Mary Louisa, Thomas, Grandma, Grandpa, Ken, Margarita, and Alicia. Ken of Hampton Township, from Sheila, Hannah, and Aaron. Alice from Harold. Peter of Jefferson Borough, also on the 27th, from parents Richard and Judy. And twins Blaine and Braden of Carn City, from Mom and Dad. Happy birthday or anniversary to everybody we just mentioned.
SLB announces listener birthdays at 8:55 every week. Would you like to surprise a friend or family member? Just send us their birthday information and address, and SLB will mention their birthday on the radio the Saturday of or before it occurs, and send a card too. To add your birthday or surprise a friend or family member by adding theirs, visit slbradio.org/birthdays or write to us at slb@slbradio.org or P.O. Box 100092, Pittsburgh, P.A. 15233.
Include the birthday person's postal address, and we will make sure they receive an official Saturday Light Brigade birthday card, now in color, hand-delivered by a uniformed employee of the United States government. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, and slbradio.org/radio.
He sits in the house alone. He ain't got rhythm. Every night he sits there and wears a frown. He attracted some attention when he found the fourth dimension. But he ain't got rhythms and no one's with him. He's the loneliest man in town. A lonely man is he, bending over his books. His wife and family keep giving him dirty looks, 'cause he ain't got rhythm. When they call him up, it's to call him down. With a daring aviator, he encircled the equator. But he ain't got rhythm, no one's with him. He's the loneliest man in town.
That's Maria Modar, along with Tuba Skinny, from their album called Let's Get Happy Together. And we've, off the air, been talking about National Chemistry Week, which, interestingly, was picked to be around this time of the year because of 10 to the 23rd. 6.022 times 10 to the 23rd, the number of molecules in a mole. If you go back to that, or it could be the number of atoms or ions in a mole. And they picked the third week of October to be October 23rd. We will talk a little bit about National Chemistry